Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wanted to give the full context of that wild card playoff game from 0-2. That's all.
Okay, so I think there are two. One for sheer improbability of it, and then I think the other one is pretty clearly for the stakes that were happening in that game and what ended up happening for this team. I'll go with the sheer improbability first because it is, I think, Baseball Reference does this. It's the third least likely victory in this history of the sport. The Pirates are down in 2001 to Billy Wagner and the Astros, except Wagner wasn't in the game yet. It's 8-2, bottom of the ninth. Game isn't even on TV. There is no one on base.
Why not?
Huh?
Why wasn't the game on TV? You threw in that detail, and I'm not sure why the game wasn't on TV, so I'm asking you if you knew the reason.
Honestly, back then, I think they didn't televise every game.
They just randomly picked games. Like, you know what? We don't feel like broadcasting.
No, that is true.
There were certain radio-only games, and that was one of them.
So how would they
pick that? They'd only have, like, 120 games or something.
So how did they determine that? They're just like, screw it. We don't need to do this Pirates-Astros game, even though they're in the same division with each other at the time?
You grew up with, like, the MSG Network and SNY. They did not put every game on TV, so they're down 8-2. No one's on base, one out to go. Somebody gets on. Here comes Pat Mears hitting a home run. Here comes another run coming across the plate. It's suddenly 8-5. They load him up for Brian Giles. Billy Wagner had already come in, and Billy Wagner tries to throw gas past Giles at 99, and it gets sent like on a beeline into the right field seats, and they win 9-8.
So I'm familiar with how that game, that it was 8-2 with two outs.
It's an iconic Lanny call. It really is, because he still decides to hit the catchphrase, and you can tell in his voice he knows how absurd it sounds to say there was no doubt about it.
How many people, like, what was the official attendance for that game? And then off of that, how many people do you think were still in the ballpark?
Interesting that you ask. I'll get you the attendance
down
figure.
Down six.
With that, yeah.
With two
just
outs in the bottom of the ninth
buried.
With no rally.
I believe that it was probably more than you would think because the ballpark was still so new and it was a very nice day, like a random nice, I think, I want to say summer day, that people actually stuck around and were there for it. So it was on July 28th. That was the one. I got to make sure I'm getting my right dates here. Yeah, July 28th. It was...
July 28th, what's the year again?
01.
That's what I thought. So the year the ballpark opened.
I believe it was the first game of a doubleheader, Donnie, and that's why it wasn't actually on TV, because it was a Saturday game. It was a reschedule from a snowout on April 17th. The Pirates score 7 in the ninth, and Giles hits a grand slam off of Billy Wagner to win it. I think it was on a 1-0 pitch. Yeah, 1-0 pitch, and he just absolutely hit a stone-cold, no-doubt rope. Inning starts, Aramis Ramirez fly out to left, Vanderwall fly out to center, Kevin Young, a double to left, Mears homered.
Mr. Excitement.
Adam Hizdu, there's a name, Pirates fans, with a single to left. Tyke Redmond, baby!
That's Donnie's guy.
Walked... Hizdu goes to second. Jack Wilson hits a grounder that just gets through and scores Hizdu. Kendall gets hit by a pitch because at that point Wagner comes in. He hits Kendall to load the bases. And then the second pitch Giles sees, he just hits about 200 miles an hour into the seats. And that's the that's also the famous Lanny. 6-7-8. Giles makes 9 and the Pirates win. And there was no. And then you can hear a slight tick. Like, he cannot believe he's actually going to say his catchphrase because, of course, there was more doubt about it than there has ever been. Baseball Reference does a thing on their, when you look at the play-by-play pony, I'm sure you've seen this, win probability, like win expectancy.
Yes.
Their win expectancy was zero for the first three hitters, zero after Mears' home run, got to 1% when Heisdew singled, got to 2% when Tyke Redman walked, got to 5% when Wilson singled, 10% when Giles got, or when Kendall got hit, and then obviously it all turns.
Donnie, have you been swayed by the power of Chris's rhetoric, as
That's
he likes
one.
To say?
Well, I do think if it's just game for game, like you're not taking the game implications into account, it's got to be that one. I mean, that's one of the better comebacks.
But how do we not
history.
Take the game implications into account?
Well, no, I mean, you know the sentimental value that
they improved
the
to 40-62 with the win.
Because you know that
40-62
and the winning pitcher, by the way, for the Pirates, my friends, none other than Omar Olivares.
I mean, you know that the playoff game for me would be probably number one,
because that was the first game you went to with your dad.
Yeah, if you're just looking like game for game, though, I think the Pirates one is up there. Another one for me, I don't even know if it's that spectacular of a comeback in the grand scheme of things, but it is the game I always think of. With the Penguins 09 playoff
Smart.
Run.
This was my other game. I'll let you take it.
The Flyers game six. They're in Philly. Philly goes up 3-0. It looks like the Penguins are lifeless. And then you get the Talbot.
Gets his ass beat by Carcillo and shushes
the Dan Carcillo, Max Talbot fight. You get the great image. Penguins score like a moment later.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of sense it because I think it's like Eddie Olczyk, maybe.
You're right. It's Eddie on the call goes, why is Carcillo fighting
here? Yeah, you're right.
Here?
He was spot on with that.
And he was dead on.
He said, and then the moment the Penguins scored, he kind of foretold what was going to happen. He's like, I think the Penguins are going to get right back in this game. Here they come. They win the series. And it was pretty smooth sailing from there.
Well, that, I mean,
well
they
until
had
they
to,
got to the cup final.
Pee blood to beat the Red Wings. But yeah, you're right. And Edzo also nailed that too. Because I'll give him credit, like, he not only said, why is Carcillo doing this, but then Carcillo wins the fight very easily and, like, gets a couple clean shots, and the crowd is roaring. And Edzo is just, like, very soberly on commentary going, yeah, the crowd loves it here, but again, why give the Penguins any kind of life? Why give the Penguins any reason to start, like, standing up and fighting? Because they were, Donnie, you're right. They were getting clobbered in that game, and they had just given up a power play goal. It looked for all the world like that thing was coming back to Pittsburgh for a game seven. And I've never seen a game in the playoffs turn that swiftly on one moment. Because it really did. It was like two different games. Everything up to the fight and everything that happened after the fight.
So I think there's another one from Penguins history that is probably better. But I want to see if our listeners can pick that one out. I don't want to steal it yet. We have Dave in the car. Hello, Dave.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How
What's
are you
up?
Today?
We're good.
Really enjoying the show so far.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of those I can't remember, but then when you bring them up, I now remember. But the most one I did is I'm fairly old, but when I was much younger, a younger boy, it was either in the late 70s or the early 80s and just made an impression on me because of my age. I think the Pirates were losing either 10 or 11-0 in Philadelphia, and Jim Rooker said that if the Pirates came back and won the game, he would walk back to Pittsburgh. The Bucks ended up winning that game, and what I remember about it, he turned it into like a charity event. So that was a good thing.
I believe you've got it reversed, though. It was the Pirates were up 11-0,
yep.
And if the Phillies came back to win, he would do the walk.
Yep.
Well,
there were some
sorry.
Big Steve
I said
Jeltz
I was a young
moments
boy.
Late
yes.
in that game.
Yeah, that's
my bad.
You're okay,
I don't blame
Dave.
You
you're
for
okay.
I don't blame you for wanting to remember it that
you're
way,
okay.
Where the Pirates won instead of blew the lead.
You're okay. That's all right. Bob Walk was actually just talking about being a part of that blown game before the Pirates played the Phillies on Friday. That was June 8th, 1989. They scored 10 in the top of the first inning. And Rooker said, if we lose this game, I'll walk back to Pittsburgh. And the final score was Phillies 15, Pirates 11.
And he had to get to Steppen. My recollection of that from looking at the box score is Philly erased a lot of that lead pretty quick, too. I believe.
In this MLB.com write-up, let's see what it says here.
Why don't I have it? I think they scored a bunch of runs pretty quickly. Another one that's been submitted, and this was a just another.
Well, the Phillies didn't take the lead back until the bottom of the eighth inning.
Okay,
so.
But they had chopped off a lot of the lead. Here's another one. Pirates Reds from 2023. Reds up 9-0 after three. Pirates come back to win 13-12.
I remember like not watching that game closely, but seeing the box score afterwards and being like, "Holy crap, they won!" But you know, 2023 is in the middle of. Well, actually, it's not. I mean, 2023 was not a horrible year for the Pirates. What am I talking about? They won 76 games that year. Were you going to say, Don?
Well, we got one on the text line. I wonder if it's Josh Roundtree chiming in. Pitt women's basketball from last year. They were down 32 points in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that the biggest comeback in, like, the four quarters, at least, era for women's basketball timing?
Largest regulation comeback in NCAA history.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years, guaranteed, on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with autopay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1. On the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good one.
Most water rescues in our area are serviced by local volunteer fire departments. A rescue boat can cost over $50,000. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union to raise funds for volunteers who serve our community. Donate now at 937thefan.com. Presented by Living Treasures Animal Park. That's one of Stella's favorite spots. Southside Heating and Plumbing. And Piata. T.J. McConnell was a part of NBA history last night with the Pacers' comeback win over the Knicks. We're talking about the greatest comebacks in Pittsburgh sports history at 412-928-9370. Our first caller had it flipped. He was talking about biggest choke jobs in Pittsburgh sports history in 89 when the Pirates were up 10-0 after the top half of the first inning and lost to the Phillies. So we're not looking for the what would be the Knicks side of things from last night's game. Looking at it from the glass half full perspective, TJ McConnell and the gang getting it done.
Can I get a YouTube submission here? A comment or submission that I think is an interesting one?
Yes.
Just because...
Wait, no.
No,
go ahead.
So anyway, as I was saying, Steelers at Bengals 2016. Porter coming on the field. Domata Peko is like Batman. You got Vontaze Burfict running through the tunnel. You've got Ben out, then Ben back in.
On his white horse.
That one's not like...
That's a really good one.
I know. That was from Jacob on YouTube. And that's not one that comes to mind as like a big comeback because they didn't come back from 21 down. Sheer improbability of, oh, they're finally going to lose to these guys in the playoffs too. No, the Bengals found a way to screw it up.
I think Mike Tomlin's best game as an NFL head coach happened in Cincinnati.
Shazier game.
Yeah, they were down 17 and they came back and won. Think about that. You've got the emotionally draining aspect of that game where you see
Shazier,
a player suffer a spinal cord injury and you rally. I mean, if they had packed it in and lost that game by four touchdowns, I don't come on the air the next day and criticize them for it.
No way. How about one that's near and dear to the two of us, Pony, because we had to work together hungover the following morning. Steelers-Ravens. Wild card round.
What was the biggest deficit in that game? Two touchdowns?
I believe it was two tutties. I think it was 21-7 at one point. Ryan had a big forced fumble on Ray Rice, I believe.
Clark played the game of his life.
I believe
that
he forced the one fumble. Then I went on the air with you the next morning because we were both
Got really drunk that night celebrating.
We're down at the bar and I just said, Pony, the Steelers didn't win this game. The Ravens lost it.
And Bouchette's head exploded when you said that.
Well, his wasn't the only one.
Here is Kevin in Moon. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're good, bro.
You hit on a couple of them, but there's a couple that came to mind. I think your previous caller, you flipped it. I think what he might have been thinking about is in 1979 during the pennant run for the Pirates.
I know the game you're talking about.
They played in Philly, and they were losing 8-0. I believe it was like the fourth or fifth inning, and they came back and won that game. In fact, Ed Ott hit a grand slam.
Yep. That's like one of the one of the great games that spurred them past the Phillies because they had lost the NL East to the Phillies the previous three seasons. Yep. That got them over the hump. That's a great call.
The other one that it comes to mind, it's a Steeler game too. I happened to be there. Is in their Super Bowl run in 2008, the Cowboys came to town on a bitterly cold day, and I think it was in the fourth quarter or close to the fourth quarter. They were down by at least 2 touchdowns, maybe 17, and came back. Romo threw an interception with a couple minutes to go for us to find. And it was that was a pretty large deficit too in the fourth quarter against the Cowboys.
I don't remember them getting blown out in that game for a big chunk of it. Maybe you guys do.
They were down 10.
Okay.
I don't remember it as like
enough of a blowout where it
like stuck in my brain.
Yeah, I think Miller had a touchdown, and then you had the Townsend pick six.
One very quick note. I just looked up, great call by him, the 8-0 Phillies deficit that the 79 team came back from.
Ed Ott, Don. Your dad's going to love that. Big Ed Ott getting another shot
out here. 5 in the 5th, 4 in the 7th, 4 in the 8th, 1 in the 9th, 14-11 final score. The Pirates won the game by that score. The teams combined for 38 hits. The Pirates had 23. The time of that game was still 3 hours and 23 minutes. If you had that exact game time pre-pitch clock like 3 years ago, 5.5 hours.
It gets postponed due to fatigue and darkness.
Due to the heat death of the universe.
God, what I wouldn't give for games like that. Not like the length of the game, but I mean just games those kind of stakes.
Bullpens are too good now, I think.
I mean more like the Pirates competing with
a team. It's an August game with a team where the teams are both winning records and trying to, battling. In front of 51,000 at the Vet.
Where they had that jail.
Yeah.
Do you ever go there?
I didn't go to the Vet.
How about the bank, as they call it?
I've been in that parking lot. I got MF'd wearing a Talbot jersey in 09, it would have been, maybe 08.
Yeah.
Walking to whatever it was called then, the Wells Fargo Center for Penguins Flyers. But the people inside the arena, very nice. Outside the arena, not
still
so
never
much.
Done that. I kind of refuse to go to a Penguins Flyers game there. I'm not really interested in getting back there for an Eagles game.
Well, you almost got beat up at an Eagles game.
You know where they're not tough? Villanova games. I've gone to several there as a Syracuse fan. You want to talk about a bunch of wine and cheese losers. My God.
Pony, Villanova.
That was before I started working out.
It's in the main line.
I could have Bruce Lee'd the hell out of an entire section of that arena.
Pony, that's because...
Cake eater galore.
Yes, because Villanova resides in maybe the single most moneyed area of the United States. The main line.
Well, we had a good submission
your
from
Haverfords,
an old caller.
Your Havertowns.
Yep, go ahead, Don.
Your Bryn Mawrs.
Game 7, 1960 World Series.
I think, you know what I'm going to nominate here? One of the most forgotten home runs in Pirates history is Hal Smith.
You love bringing that up. This is like the second time in a week you brought up Hal Smith.
Because it's just come up.
You love giving credit where credit is due for good old Hal Smith, man.
It just is a totally forgotten play. I'm trying to think of like an equivalent.
It's not really forgotten by the people who love the Pirates and know that game.
It is eclipsed by probably the most, one of the three most famous home runs in baseball history.
I agree with that.
And so, like, it does not get the credit it deserves for what a seismic play in that game that it was. You had a hockey game you said you thought was one Penguins comeback that might have been bigger than the Talbot comeback. And I think I know what it is.
Go ahead.
Because I think I'm going to credit the YouTuber that sent this in. I'm not going to pretend like
I
remember
it. Is it Jeff in South Park?
No, it was the same guy who I think sent in... Steve, 6-5 Penguins, or it's 5-4 technically, Penguins Blackhawks, game 1, 92 final.
Yep, he hit
down 4-1.
Yep.
And man, is that, okay, question for you.
Lemieux's goal just absolutely brought the house down.
Right. Is that a game 1 of a final series that felt like, and the Penguins were the better team there.
They won the series that night, is that what you're going to say?
Just like Gibson felt like he won the series in 88 against the A's.
I agree with that.
I think you just, the gut punch is so bad for the other team, it's like,
ooh,
forget about it.
Here is a great one that Malzi is absolutely going to love. You're going to start growing hair on your bald head again after you hear this. 97 Steelers Ravens, the Cordell Stewart.
Oh, at Memorial Stadium in Baltimore. 70-yard
touchdown run.
Oh, is that a good one? Who gave that one?
Somebody on the text line.
That's a great one.
They were down
They were down like 20.
They were down 24-7 at halftime.
Okay. And Cordell had thrown like three picks. He had had a horrible first half, if memory serves.
So they start the second half. Here's a blast from the past. First play of the second half, Will Blackwell takes the kickoff back 97 yards for a touchdown.
Did they do a fake reverse there?
I think you might be right.
I think you might be right, too.
I feel like that's one of those games I've gone back to watch. Jim Kelly was on the call.
It's not me. It's who? Dick Enberg? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, wasn't it him and Jim Kelly?
Yes, because we were watching this in the back because Jim Kelly was so bad. That's what I said to you guys.
Here's the only issue with this game. The Steelers scored 28 points in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And they actually got up big in this game. The final score was 42-34, but that's because Josh ran out of the end zone on a punt for a safety at the end, Josh Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So they really won the game by 10.
I know, but that's an awesome comeback still.
No, it is, no doubt. But like, some of these comebacks, I think if they were down a ton, they had to like eke out a win. They actually ended up burying the Ravens.
I went to their home game later that year against Baltimore, the Sunday nighter, 37-0. That was a fun one. That was the first Steelers game I ever attended in person, regular season.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, come on. You've met my dad. We weren't like the hardcore, like, I'm going to get a case Iron City and take my boy to the football game. He's going to be like, son, here is a 600-page book on the JFK assassination. Please have a report ready for me in 3 weeks.
We had a submission for the 1970 Backyard Brawl. Pitt down 35-7 at halftime.
Holy crap.
Unfortunately, Pitt's been on the wrong end of way too many of these.
Speaking of comebacks, somebody brought up the football game against Cincinnati this year that they won in Cincinnati. Remember that game, the second week of the season? They were getting
blown
out.
I think they were down 27-10, maybe. Is that, or 20? No, not, because they won 27-24, I believe.
There's an epic.
Donnie, who coached the Ravens in that 97 comeback? Who was their coach? Can you name him?
Oh, no, I have no idea.
Big Ted Marchabrota.
Why did you feel
it was down 35-8 in 1970?
Franklin, PA's own Ted Marchabrota.
What was the score of the Pitt-Cincinnati game from this college football season?
I thought it was 27-24 Pitt.
No, but what were they down?
Oh, I thought like 24-6 is what sounds right in my head because I was on the golf course that
final
day.
Score was 28-27.
Okay.
27-6? Pitt was down 27-6. Yep.
Jeez, dude.
And they came back and won.
That was where the legend of Eli Holstein started to really take root.
Yep.
Like, holy crap. This
now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at 1-888-EAR-POD-1
on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This guy's pretty good.
You out there listening, you have an opportunity to become one of us. Come to the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department on Thursday, June 5th from 7 to 9 and take part in our next Up on the Fan talent search. We're going to be going out to multiple locations this summer to try to find the next top host in Pittsburgh. We'll pick two winners from each location, and they will square off in a final round competition to become the newest part-time talent added to our roster. For more info, including dates and locations, visit 937thefan.com.
If all of our current fan hosts were doing this and actually jockeying for a job, do you know who I think the finals would come down to, Donnie? Be the guy across from me versus Crowley, believe it or not.
I think it would be Austin Bechtold versus intern Dom. Somebody say to me today,
that's so,
intern Dom or Austin Bechtold, one of them will be the next Colin Cowherd, and we'll see who's going to win the race to get there.
Did this person sign it to you because they're deaf?
Oh, man.
No, that was mean. I like both of them.
Oh, yeah. You really can tell from comments
like
that.
I would actually love to listen to those two do a show together because let me tell you how it would go. Here comes Austin driving the show, like Pony leads the show. Sincere, like very serious take about, I don't know, Penn State. And I could just imagine intern Dom with his feet up going, "Ah, yeah, you're wrong. They suck. Franklin's a choke artist," and just absolutely riling him up for the entire
Maybe
4 hours.
Maybe we'll find out how that sounds in a couple
weeks. I think
weeks.
Dom is doing what you're doing, not that Syracuse and Penn State are rivals, but I think he's doing what you're doing at Syracuse. He's maintained his Penn State fandom.
Wait, he was a Penn State fan originally?
That's what I heard.
He is.
Yeah.
So he's doing the, man, I mean.
He has told me that he is Penn State football, Syracuse basketball.
Well, that's a mistake because the football team there won 10 games.
I think that's Chris Mack territory there, where Chris tries to split the baby and root for Pitt and Penn State. I just want a good game, even though everyone knows he's a Penn State fan. I don't think you can pick and choose. I didn't root for Penn State basketball.
I still think Crowley did Callis dirty with this picture he posted.
It's not good,
is it? Beloved Fan Morning Show producer Callis is back tomorrow. Why was he silenced? All the details at 7.
It's a great tease, and like the whole that part of it is like Radio 101 to a T. It's great. But, man, it's also zoomed the hell in on Callis.
He picked a picture of like, okay, like you'll never believe.
He looks like he has a UConn Cornelius
beard.
Yes,
you'll never believe which NFL player from 30 years ago has let himself go. You know, that's what that looks like, you know?
Okay, but to defend Crowley a little bit here, do you think if I was in the same position, you wouldn't find, like, the funniest, most unflattering picture of me?
He would find the picture of you that was normal and run it through whatever filter on his phone in an app makes it look like it was taken in 1982 from 200 yards away. The Pony specializes in the worst resolution imaginable. If there's a way to search in Google for images, lowest
Pony
resolution.
Pony is currently searching me on.
I am, because Kabali sent me a picture of you working for your college TV station. And, like, of course, in his own demented way, thought it was hysterical.
I can't rip Kabali for that, though, for this reason. He puts up those pictures of himself from, like, Little League, and they're ridiculous and goofy looking, and no, he does not care. Why is the fourth result on Google Image for Donnie Nick Farabaugh?
See, he just sent me, I'll put it up to the camera, he just sent me this picture of Donnie.
He looks like he's cutting a mean promo on Ric Flair.
You're giving a very serious take here. I don't know if you remember what that's from.
I don't even know what that's from. I don't think that's on my Instagram or anything.
How is Nick Farabaugh coming up as the fourth Google image result?
Because I think people do confuse them. I think Donnie and Nick do get, like,
I'll tell you what, Pony, the version of Donnie that's snapping the football for Greensburg-Salem, you think you're in good shape? That guy would have just walked into a room
no
and
doubt.
Ripped you a limb from
I agree with that. Time for the debrief brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Don?
The debrief, May 22, 2025. I got to chat with the vice president of NFL broadcast planning.
That's a fancy term for the guy that makes the NFL schedule.
Yeah, the mastermind. One of the masterminds, Mike North, behind the NFL schedule.
By the way, Pop was calling him Peter North by accident today.
Well, there were plenty of people who didn't want to get away from that joke. I wonder if the guy hears it all the time.
Plenty of people inserting themselves into those proceedings. That's a hell of a get for you, by the way.
No doubt,
I mean,
agree.
That's great booking. That's cool, man.
Do you have some of the highlights from it?
I do. So I took a few, and you guys can choose what you want to hear. Now, each of these are roughly a minute 15. Like, okay. It was kind of funny. Every single answer, you could pretty much set your watch to, like, a minute 15.
Okay. All right.
So we have him on the possibility of 18 games.
Okay.
The bye weeks and how that worked out with the Steelers this year.
Mm-hmm.
The future of 16 international games.
Mm-hmm.
If the Pirates play any impact on the Steelers' schedule early in the season.
Okay.
And the Aaron Rodgers effect.
Give me the Aaron Rodgers effect to start.
Yeah, you know what we know. Nobody should assume anything with Aaron. And obviously, I think the Steelers' schedule is more interesting. I think the NFL is more interesting if he plays, but it's whatever, June, right? And we still don't know. So we definitely didn't build this schedule assuming he was going to be the quarterback. If he were, if we knew today that Aaron was playing for the Steelers, I'm not sure we would have had to, you know, call it restraint to schedule the Steelers for 1 o'clock on, you know, Sunday afternoon of week one. I imagine he and the team would have been in a primetime window. I think it would have been one of the more interesting games in week one. So as it is, you know, it's Steelers-Jets week one. At worst, it's Justin Fields against one of his old teams. At best, it's Justin and Aaron against one of their old teams. The one game we probably did kind of pay just a touch of extra attention to was the Packers game. Obviously, if he's playing quarterback for the Steelers, this would be the first time he's playing against the Packers since he left. And that's probably not a game that would belong at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon and available in 15 or 20% of the country, or maybe shouldn't be, you know, in the double header with CBS and Fox. You'd probably end up imbalancing that window if one of them had Aaron Rodgers against his old team. So that was probably the one game that we probably at least kind of hedged on just a little. It's still Packers-Steelers. It's still a good Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night game, regardless of who's playing quarterback for either of those two teams. But if he does come back and he does play for the Steelers, that one's obviously going to get a lot of attention. Definitely needed to make sure that that one wasn't lost or buried somewhere in a window where not every fan could see it, because that's surely going to be one of the storylines of the season if he does come back.
I'm just interested that his take seems to be, and correct me if you guys disagree, or the Packers game to them is a way bigger deal. Like, I would almost think the recency of he's with the Jets, it's the New York crowd, it's in the Meadowlands, like, would have been a bigger deal. They're treating clearly the time with the Packers.
I'm not surprised by that at all, because there's so many Packers fans that are a top five NFL fan base, and just the strangeness for them of having to see Aaron Rodgers play against them in that game. But they got lucky in that the two teams, his former and his potential future team, are both teams with national fan bases. And that's why they could hedge their bets, like he explained. If they were teams that were not traditional juggernauts or teams that had large followings, it would have made it much harder. I buy it. I think he's telling the truth on all that. Like, I really do think he did a great job of detailing to Donnie why Steelers Jets at 1 o'clock gets lost week one, because there's tons of 1 o'clock games that day. And there's honestly, like, it'll be the one game where, you know, if you're not in a city that has an NFL team or close to one, you might get that game at 1 o'clock, or maybe, you know, the Ravens play at night that day. So in Baltimore, they'll get Steelers Jets because it's an AFC North team. But he said, what, like 20% of America will get that game? Steelers and Jets? That's not a big number.
No, it is not.
80% of America's not going to get that. Yeah.
Donnie, I want to hear, if we have time for it, I would like to hear future of the 18-game schedule, if I get to pick one of these two.
Let's hear it.
There certainly does seem to be a lot of conversation about it. You know, we were what, 40 years at 16-4, and we've only been 3 years at 17-3. You know, I don't know that 18-2 is coming tomorrow. I don't even know if it's going to be 18-2. It might just be 18-1. You know, I don't know that multiple buys for every team is practical. Seems to be like you get some kind of ramp down and then ramp back up after a bye week when you're out of the building and you're out of your routine. I think we might actually be a little more susceptible to injuries coming out of bye weeks, even than on short weeks or on long travel or stuff like that. Plus, if you think about expanding the season over 20 weeks, we're only adding 16 games. So it means you're going to thin out some of these other weeks. Yes, we're adding more weeks, but I think we're thinning out some of the other existing weeks, and you got to fit all those extra buys probably into the middle somewhere. I don't think we're going to do buys in weeks 1, 2, and 3. I don't think we're going to do buys in 18, 19, 20 if we end up going to 20 weeks. So I'm not sure the second bye is fait accompli. I'm not sure the 18 games is imminent. There does seem to be a lot of talk about it. But sure, as a scheduling team, we've definitely done some models and we've thought about what it might look like. It's making a impossible problem even harder somehow.
You know what's interesting about all of that? The NFL, everything's so under lock and key for them. Donnie just emails this guy who makes the NFL schedule. He says, sure, I'll come on. And then he gives fairly straightforward, honest answers.
I guess once the schedule's out, he doesn't mind telling people how the sausage is made every single time.
I'm shocked that the NFL hasn't put the kibosh on him doing these, I won't say tell-all interviews, but he does peel back the curtain more than you usually get from the NFL there. So...
What's there
well
to
done,
hide?
Donnie.
Yeah, that was a hell of a get.
Go to 93.7thefan.com, and you can go back and hear that entire interview. We've got an article up about it right now.
Now at Verizon, they're locking in low prices for 3 years guaranteed on my plan. And you can get a single line for just $45 a month when you switch and bring your phone. That's their best price ever on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Guaranteed for 3 years. Because at Verizon, they got you. Visit your local Verizon store today. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Price guarantee applies to then current base monthly rate. Additional terms and conditions apply.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.